Featuring the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at the Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Darn. That just... One of those that you felt like you played better than the score indicates, but yet sometimes you run into an ace, and that's what happens. Brewers had a really hard time today with Zach Wheeler. They fall 3-1, but the moment, the story, the game, everything is about Rhys Hoskins today. That was so great. That was amazing. The ovation to then hit a homer, to steal a bag against Realmuto. So much. So much to really just kind of smile about, the moments of why we love baseball kind of thing. And it's just, you know, really refreshing, because we all have to be reminded sometimes that, hey, these are people, you know, like they're not robots and they're not out here just to perform. And yes, don't get me wrong, they are competitive as heck. And that part of the reason why Rhys Hoskins felt compelled to try to steal it back against his old friend JT Realmuto. And to see the smile after he got thrown out of the plate, kind of a tense moment, you know, it's like, okay, like, it's not the reason they lost, obviously, but it's just like, all right, yeah, that's pretty cool. This is one of those games that you're like, all right, let's get past this game and get back to just focusing on baseball the next 2 days. But it's not a bad thing that we're getting to enjoy a moment like this. So that's the positive side. The negative side is, once again, the Brewers can't figure it out with the bases loaded. Bases loaded, nobody out, top of the order. Nothing. Just nothing. It's worrying, but also it's like an anomaly, because Craig Kishon is with us as well here. Craig, I mean, it's not like you go up there and saying, oh, I got to change my total approach here with the bases loaded, but the Brewers, once again, another 0-for-1 today with the bases loaded. Terang bounces back to the pitcher on a 1-2-3, and Contreras then struck out with runners on second and third, and he's been so great with runners in scoring position. But I'm out of words to describe the anomaly that is a top-five team with runners in scoring position and a bottom-five team with the bases loaded.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say about all that other than, you know, when you're watching it unfold, and you've been watching it for, you know, what, a little over 2 months as we have, Dom, you just have to wonder, you know, you get to that point where you're watching this and it's going on and it's like, oh boy, I almost wish the bases weren't loaded right here. You know what I mean? Especially with nobody out, and as crazy as that sounds, you just have to wonder. Sometimes things creep into these guys' heads if you're a player occasionally. They just do. Probably none of them would admit it while they're playing now, but when they're done playing, you always hear this from players, like certain things creep into your head. And you just have to wonder, is this gone on long enough where this is obviously an issue and a problem here right now, and I don't know how you solve it. And it's not an easy one to solve, because you're not always in bases loaded situations like the ones we're talking about here right now. So it's a head scratcher to be sure. And, you know, the day that they break out, I hope it's in a critical situation like tonight. How big would that have been as this game turned out to be low scoring the way it was?
When you look at it, when you're facing Zach Wheeler, you may only get one chance against a guy like that, and that was your chance. I think back to the Brewers going for the sweep against old friend Corbin Burnes, remember, against Baltimore back in April in that first week, and they kind of had Corbin on the ropes multiple times in the first few innings. Like, yes, Williams started off the game with a home run, but they left a runner on base there in the first. They left two runners on base in the third. They had caught stealing. They had chances against Burnes, but couldn't get the knockout punch against a guy of that caliber. That was the opportunity there, because there were some great at-bats in that inning. You had the walk by Ortiz. Terang had worked a great at-bat. He was behind in the count 1-2, saw three more pitches before he ultimately grounded into the double play. And it's not like you tell a guy go up there and strike out, but it almost, that was one of the rare cases where it's like, hey man, You know, not all contact is good. I know we all say put the ball in play and anything can happen. Well, one of the things that could happen is he ground into a double play. I'm not going to tell a guy to not go up there and swing, but the Brewers knew that was their opportunity, and that's why they had to send Rhys Hoskins from second in the fifth inning. I don't think on paper you say, wait, you sent Rhys on a base hit to center field coming off of a hamstring? On paper, that sounds bad, but when you realize, well, you're down 3-0, you're facing Wheeler, you got the top of the order, I mean, you got to make something happen sometimes, and that was a big play that the Brewers couldn't get done.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I was kind of thinking the same thing, you know, maybe Bryce, could you just, you know, strike out here and still give your team an opportunity with the next batter here with still less than two outs. But, you know, that's the thing when you're, this is the problem when you're facing good pitching is the good pitchers put pressure on hitters instead of, like you're saying, try to put the ball in play. That's obviously an old adage. That's obviously an old rule of this game. You know, figure out a way to get me out. But, you know, when you're as good as Wheeler is, he ends up being one of the rare pitchers that's putting pressure on the hitters. You know what? You're only going to get so many opportunities against me, and I dare you to come through because good luck hitting this next pitch or good luck getting through this next at bat. You know, that's the scenario you face. I mean, that's just the bottom line. And those are times where, you know, to me, you just got to tip your cap sometimes to the Wheeler just making the right pitch. And you know, his defense is good. Everything's working out for him here today. This is how you win these games where your team only scores three runs and it looks like you won 8-1 instead of 3-1. So just one of those. It was a frustrating game. You know, beginning to end, to be sure.
When you look at it, though, too, and we'll talk about the pitching in the next segment from the Brewer side of things, both top halves of the order did absolutely nothing today. The Brewers 1-5, they went 1-20. The Phillies 1-5, they went 2-18. So it wasn't like this barn-burning day where it's like, oh my gosh, hits are coming. And no, both teams did very well to neutralize the top half of the order. The story is the bottom half for the Brewers. Obviously, Rhys technically hitting sixth. He's not a sixth hitter caliber player, but Bowers reached base twice. Ortiz reached base again. Perkins had a couple of hits out of the nine hole. That was clutch. But on the Philly side, it was the David Dahl game out of nowhere coming up from AAA, hitting a home run, having a couple of really good at-bats against Bryce Wilson. Part of the lefty struggles for him. We'll talk more about Bryce in the second segment, but you don't get many opportunities when you hold Schwarber, Realmuto, Harper, Bohm, Stott to such a quiet day with no extra base hits. This feels like a missed opportunity.
Yeah, and definitely I think a missed opportunity, and the feeling certainly is there for sure. But, you know, I guess on the flip side, you kind of have to say, you know what, at least from a, you know, a Brewer pitching perspective, and I know we're going to get more into that later, things kind of worked out against a really good hitting team here. I mean, you held the Phillies to three runs. Certainly it was one of those matchups where it's good luck getting more than three runs against Wheeler. But, you know, I just think the bottom line is, you know, that this was all Wheeler's game as it turned out here. And yes, Wilson pitched pretty well for sure. But I think just the script that they set up still worked in the Brewers' favor here today. They just couldn't capitalize on the couple of opportunities to score. And, you know, unfortunately, that was just the bottom line.
855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Brian and Tosa, tonight's game basically shows the Phillies starting pitching is better than ours. Yeah, no-brainer. Our bullpen is better than their bullpen, and their offense is as good, if not slightly better, than our offense. Totally agree with all of that there, Brian. What are the odds? This one from Doug. What are the odds Rhys hits a home run in his first time back? It was meant to be, but that's not enough. Would like to get one win out of there. Yeah, I agree with that. And Brian, I see your question. We'll address that later on here in the show as well. But up next, we do got to talk about the pitching and the strategy. We might see it again tomorrow with Jared Koenig leading into a bulk man. We'll talk about that next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Tom Catronio with you. Craig Kishon here as well. Brewers fall 3-1 to the Phillies. Game 1 of a 3-game set down there at Citizens Bank Ballpark. Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Craig, I tweeted this a moment ago, and I stand by it. If you would have told me that through seven innings, Jared Koenig, Bryce Wilson, and for technically no pitches, Hobie Milner, would have held the Phillies' offense to just three runs, I would have said, take it and see what you can do. Quite frankly, Bryce, it was shaky in the beginning, and the struggles with lefties continue to pop up for him. But once he got out of that, his first inning, the second inning, it was pretty much smooth sailing aside from the home run. In fact, that home run, only two hits were allowed after his first inning, and it was the last batter he faced in Johan Rojas. So I'm not mad at Bryce at all. I thought he did solid today, exactly what he was asked to do. He threw 5 2/3 innings and gave up six hits, sure, but generally you go nearly six innings and three runs or less, that's a quality start. If it was a normal type day for him, just a little bit shaky coming out of the gates.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it certainly was. I mean, you don't want to get hit hard like you did right out of the gates in that, you know, in the early part of his appearance, because he didn't get the start technically, but and that was it. But you know what? Going in, you're not expecting Bryce Wilson to be perfect. You're not expecting Bryce Wilson to pitch a shutout or only give up a run in Philadelphia against this offense, for sure. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's just who he is. He's going to give up a couple of runs. I mean, this is the whole idea of having an opener. It's basically to nab those three first outs so he doesn't have to, so he can pitch a little bit deeper in the game. And, you know, I'm very happy with how things worked out pitching wise. It was, like I said before, it was too script. So they got to feel good about what they got. It's just one of those nights, unfortunately, where the offense had very few opportunities and they weren't able to cash in when they had those opportunities. And unfortunately, you know, the pitching doesn't get the backing here in this one. Hopefully it will starting tomorrow night right away if they go with Koenig again to open things up. But, you know, Wilson pitched great. I mean, you know, Pat's got to be happy. Crookie's got to be happy. And he's got to feel good about going into his next start, too. So all good there, if you ask me.
The thing that I monitor here with Bryce, and this is why it's exactly a candidate to use an opener for a guy like Bryce, is his splits. They're very drastic, and they're traditional splits. Righties are only hitting 174 against him. That cutter's been a really big piece for him. Whereas lefties now, this is up to the minute, 302 average against, a 570 slugging against. Six of the nine homers he has allowed have come against lefties. And furthermore, he's got 12 walks against lefties. That's four more walks against lefties than against righties, despite having more than 30 more plate appearances against righties. So he doesn't have the full bag of toys to use against lefties that he does against righties. But then I sit here and remember, wait a minute. This guy's not even supposed to be starting. This guy's wasn't even on the radar to be starting for the Brewers this season, given how deep they are getting in their repertoire. On the television side of things, Jeff and Vinny made a great point. The Phillies have used six starters all season. The Brewers have used 11, and that's not even including Jared Koenig as an opener. And it's a reminder that, okay, Bryce probably wasn't supposed to be a starter this year. Tobias Myers was not supposed to be in the big leagues at some point this year, but yet here we are, the Brewers having to rely on these guys, and quite frankly, they're performing as well as you can expect. It's just not the same as what maybe Brewers fans have been used to the last few years.
Well, yeah, and I think we knew that going in, that I think it was pretty clear that there were going to be, you know, a lot of starting pitchers used. I'm just not sure we knew who they were all going to be. You know, injuries certainly played a role. You know, past Woody, you just didn't know what your injury situation was going to be. And there's obviously been quite a few, to the point where it's certainly hampered where they're going right now with their starting pitchers. And at the very least, you want to get through as much of the regular season as you can with who you have and be creative with who you have. And then if you have to make a move when it comes to deadline time, see where you are in the standings and whatnot, and see what your future holds for your team as far as playoffs go, then you can start making major decisions. So what they've done in what I will call the meantime has been tremendous so far. And you're right. Obviously, Wilson wasn't supposed to be there. A lot of these guys weren't supposed to be there yet. And, you know, they've just done a tremendous job. And this is one of those nights where the offense didn't match up to, you know, what a tremendous job really when it comes down to, even with all those numbers you're talking about with Wilson, you know, matching up against lefties, you still got to pitch and you still got to face these guys. You still got to be a big leaguer. And, you know, for the most part, he's done a really good job, you know, for the role that he's been asked to play.
And only one walk, too. I think that's always going to be a key when you talk about Wilson, making sure he's in the strike zone, but effectively in the strike zone, which is not what we saw in the second. And the one walk was to Bryce Harper. I mean, I'm fine. Like, he did his job, but, you know, had a tough time on the other side facing Zach Wheeler. The next segment is going to be all about Rhys Hoskins and the moment that it was and everything that we got to enjoy today as just baseball fans. And we're now getting audio from the clubhouse and hearing from his reaction and everything like that. This was a day that was really, really important to the Hoskins family. We'll talk about that coming up next. 3-1 Brewers fall to the Phillies right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, it was a moment that I asked Reese about this week. Hey, man, I mean, I'm the millionth person to ask you this, but cheers or booze, you know, and nothing, you know, it's like, no, I think it'll be cheers, and I hope I give them something to boo about later in the game. And well, Craig, he called his shot. That was awesome. I first of all, the actual pregame stuff, you know, when he was announced as the starting lineup, Phillies fans are already locked in. They had played a tribute video before his first at-bat in between innings. And then finally, of course, the full standing ovation, a full moment, 40,000-plus, all for Rhys Hoskins. That was just an awesome moment as a baseball fan, as a human, as somebody who has gotten to know Rhys a little bit over the last few months. I know how important all of that was for Rhys and his wife, Jamie. And just hat tip. Just kudos to everybody in Philly and kudos to the Hoskins family. Clearly his impact was felt there in brotherly love.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of Brewer fans who know that this guy was a really, really good baseball player when he came to Milwaukee and felt very fortunate just looking at numbers alone that this guy was going to be, you know, very useful here and provide a lot of punch on and off the field, just be nothing but positive for this team and this franchise. But I think you really understand when somebody's on your team for 7 years, like he grew up a Philly and led them to some wonderful, wonderful moments and deep into the postseason, that, you know, you get 40,000 people showing up in Philly on a Monday night. A lot of those people came to see Rhys, pay tribute, give him a salute, give him a standing ovation or two or three, as it turned out. I just think it was tremendous. We talked about this yesterday. I've been in Philly enough to see the dark side, if you will. They're mm-hmm. they're notorious for being some of the toughest fans in the country in every single sport that's in that city. And I remember very few times of what I saw tonight in Philly to be this positive. I'm not knocking the city. I'm just saying they know what their reputation is. They want to win, and they're going to be tough on people because they want them to perform for them. Well, Rhys has done all of that. And unfortunately, his career there ended, you know, in a serious knee injury. And now it's been revived and will continue as a foe to that team. And I hope he hits another home run on Tuesday. I hope he hits another home run on Wednesday. I hope he hits more home runs when these two teams meet at whatever point it's going to be in the postseason, because I think it would be great, just a great storyline. I was thrilled. I had goosebumps. I know everybody did that watched all that today. And for him to hit the home run was, you know, icing on the cake and something that should have happened despite this loss today. He came to play, that's for sure.
And when you look at it for Reese, and knowing this was coming, he had the hamstring scare and everything, I wonder, and this is me speculating, but I think you'll understand where I'm going with this. This has been circled on the calendar since the moment he signed with the Brewers. And to get the closure of hitting a homer against your former team, getting to see it, like, there was dinner plans and everything when they arrived last night. They were telling me about some of their favorite spots that they were going to hit and all this stuff. And then you get through this week, you can decompress on the off day on Thursday, and you got to imagine that this can be a springboard for Reese. And I'm not saying he's had a bad start to the season. He leads the team in home runs, for goodness sake. He's the first one to double digits with 10 of them. But now, coming off the injured list, having missed a little more than 2 weeks, he was really swinging a hot bat before he got injured. He was heating up at over his previous 7 games before he got hurt. He was hitting .333 with 3 homers. Now he hits his first homer since coming off the injured list. I think you can see what I'm trying to say here is, like, okay, William Contreras carried this team in April, Christian Yelich, and then William Contreras carried in April, Joey Ortiz in May, and now maybe this is going to be June, it's going to be Reese Hoskins month.
I totally get what you're saying on there. I mean, look, the guy's healthy again, and we're now in the heart of the baseball season. We're in the third month, and now he's facing his old team. Tonight provided a different kind of juice for him in a Brewer uniform. And I think it, you know, it's necessary to baseball players. This is a long season. Every season is. But when you're going through it with the team for the first time, having nothing but ever put on a Philly uniform and all your production is as a Philly, you're coming over here now and you got to feel your way through things. And he did at the beginning of the season. He started heating up a little bit, and as you said, you know, then he suffers the hamstring injury. And, yeah, it was only 2 weeks, but it's still 2 weeks. And are you coming back 100%, or are you coming back at, you know, 90 so you can play in this series? And when are you going to be at 100? Well, maybe this series now he'll be back at 100, and he'll provide some great things here as we move forward for the final 4 months of the regular season here. So a lot of good things can happen out of this. I totally get it. It's these moments are springboards for especially veterans who understand it and can not just feel their way through it, but really understand how to get through it and still play as a winner like he is.
He's been fantastic, not only on the field, but in the clubhouse, one of the pillars for Pat Murphy's team. All right, tomorrow, another opener. It'll be Jared Koenig going for the second straight day, just like we saw against the Red Sox, with Colin Ray to follow him. Now, the Brewers will be facing their kryptonite. It's going to be a southpaw tomorrow. So maybe we see Gary Sanchez behind the plate, and you get William off of his feet, and him serve as the designated hitter. And then see what you can do against Christopher Sanchez, because, well, the opener thing worked. Now, Christopher Sanchez has been good. He's not Zach Wheeler. Time to make an adjustment tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure. I think they got to, you know, get a little mojo back here against, you know, against a lefty, a quality lefty. And you know, just hopefully the bats start swinging a little bit better than they were tonight. I mean, you can't be afraid of these guys, Dom. We all know that. But you certainly need to make the right adjustments. And you know, hopefully, you know, I'm pretty confident that things are going to start turning for this team against left-handed pitching, especially out of the gates here. And, you know, hopefully that starts as soon as tomorrow night.
Brewers are 8-5, though, this season against lefties. So see if the good vibes continue tomorrow. Craig Kishon joining us here on the program. You'll be back with us tomorrow, but it won't be me. You'll be talking to Greg Matzik tomorrow. Appreciate you as always, my friend, and I'll talk to you again on Wednesday.
All right, Dom. Sounds good.
All right, Craig Kishon on WTMJ. A couple of texts here, 855-616. 1620. Again, 855-616-1620 on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Here's Reese Hoskins.
Designated hitter. Reese Hoskins!
Gosh, that was just a really cool moment. The old walk-up song and everything. Dan Baker, one of the best in the biz. If you've never been to Philly for a game, I just had my first experience last year going to the bank. It was really cool, honestly. I really enjoyed that ballpark. Philly fans are... Look, when it's a moment like this, you feel the love, and it's amazing. When you're deep down a Cowboys fan, sorry... But, you know the other side of it, like Greg was talking about, too. But this was just cool, man. I just can't stop smiling, even though the Brewers lost 3-1 today. But really, really cool moment. Well done by the Phillies, and we can get back to baseball tomorrow. One of the texts that came in here earlier from Brian and Tosa asking about the need for starting pitching and needing, you know, given... We also got news earlier today that Robert Gasser is experiencing some tightness in his elbow and in his forearm, which makes you go, eee-lee, and you're trying to figure it out. Okay, does this explain why his velo was down in his last start? And I'll say it again. I'm sick of having to say it. Trevor Bauer is not an option. He's not. Stop it. He's not. Just drop it. If somebody around you, if you know somebody or somebody you love, keeps saying, why don't the Brewers sign Trevor Bauer, correct them. No, it would have already happened by now. But somebody asked, Brian here asking, would you trade Willy Adames for some pitching help? And I say, absolutely the heck not. No. You trade Willy Adames, that's waving the white flag. I know in theory you're saying, oh, well, you just move Joey Ortiz to short. Then you figure out third base. Maybe throw Tyler Black back over there. And like, no. This would be Josh Hader 2.0. Now, in the long run, yes, be cool to say like, hey, this blossomed into something else or everything. I get the feeling that you may have seen the quotes this week from Matt Arnold in his session with all of us in the media earlier this week. Matt Arnold and owner Mark Adonasio talked about the fact that they're not able to sign Willy Adames. There has already been an extension put in front of him. He declined it. He wants to test free agency. That's his right to do so. Furthermore, there have been trade calls. There have been teams calling about Willy Adames, and Matt Arnold has continued to say no. They're always listening. But to me, for a team that's in first place, it's almost a carbon copy of 2022, man. And with all due respect to Josh Hader, losing Willy Adames would be a bigger impact. Not just, you know, for the clubhouse atmosphere, but like literal impact. Like 4-5 hitter, plays every day, shortstop, every single day. I'm not trading Willy. Unless something goes terribly wrong and the Brewers lose like 20 games in a row or something, I'm not trading Willy. I'm not doing it. I'm not. It has to be some sort of ridiculous return for that to happen. But as far as pitching goes, look, get in line. Everybody needs pitching. In the Brewers, they have some prospect capital. They certainly can make something happen. But then the balance of remembering, okay, Junis is on the way back. You've got Woodruff next year. Hopefully, maybe we'll see Aaron Ashby at this rate, given he had a great outing, 7 innings in his last outing in AAA. Maybe we'll see Jansen Junk get a spot start. He's been warming up like for the last 3 days straight. Hasn't got into length for the Brewers, but... Everybody needs pitching. Literally every single team needs pitching, always, at any time. So get in line. They're going to piece it together and see what happens. Once you get past this Philly series, it gets a little bit more interesting for the Brewers because you face the Tigers, a team that's kind of underwhelming right now. You come back home for Toronto, who's especially underwhelming right now, but they're still flirting with .500. Then you get the Reds again. You haven't seen the Reds since April, and the Reds are sort of showing signs of life, but then aside from Ellie De La Cruz, they kind of go as Ellie goes. So you can survive this little stretch right now and see what happens once you know more about Gasser, once you know more about Junis's return, once you know more about maybe what the rest of the market is going to look like. Up next, though, we are going to hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, as the Brewers fall 3-1 to the Phillies on 620 WTMJ.
With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank knows what success looks like. They've been serving businesses and individuals in the area for nearly 15 years, including a long-standing commitment to the healthcare industry. From expansion to treasury management, Fifth Third offers a full suite of financial services and solutions across the healthcare spectrum to meet the complex moments you're navigating. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
It's all right. There's 162 of them. Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Is your AC unit more than 10 years old? Well, you're in luck. Through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical can save you $1,500 on a brand new unit. Visit Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. To schedule an appointment today, that's Sider, S-E-I-D-E-R.com. Apologies if you hear the sirens in the background because, well, if you're watching on YouTube, you can tell I'm not in the studio. I'm not in my normal spot. I'm in, well, if you can judge by the sirens, New York City. So we're out here on assignments, as I mentioned in Sunday's show. This will happen periodically on Mondays throughout the season where I'm doing the show remotely. But then in the second half, there are a lot of Monday off days, which really makes me smile. But anyway. Brewers fall 3-1 today. Here's what the manager, Pat Murphy, had to say about everything that went down today.
The kid's, you know, an elite pitcher in the league, and we got bases loaded, nobody out, and just unfortunate. You know, Bryce has been one of our catalysts all year long, and, you know, Wheeler made good pitches, and credit Wheeler, you know, for getting out of that.
What was the key for him in terms of his outing and even the bullpen, especially where he was done and continuing to kind of keep you guys in check?
Well, they're good. It's flat out, they're good. And they pitch well. Wheeler didn't have his best stuff. I think he'd be the best first guy to tell you that. But he just, him and JT, they get through it. You know, it was masterful in a lot of ways. He did what he needed to do, made big pitches when he had to. And obviously, bases loaded, no out, pitched out of that. Gave up some hard contact, but right parts of the field. And yeah, we didn't take advantage.
Even though it was early in the game, were you worried about any kind of a carrier effect when that happens in the second inning, or were you just early enough in the game that you thought the guys could just get through that and move on?
What are you talking about?
In terms about the mental aspect of bases loaded, nobody out, and then early in the game. Was that worried for you guys at all, or any kind of carrier effect at all?
We've played 60-some games this year. 60, what was it, 60? 60? All right, number 60. Check out how many games we've been out of that it's effective. Anything's affected us. I mean, we've played tough in 58 of the 60 games. So these are a bunch of guys that love to play and they keep coming at you. And I don't think it affected us. I think Wheeler's really good. I think Hoffman's really good, and the last kid's really good. So we battled and didn't come up big when we had to. But give credit to our guys too. I mean, they hung in.
What was your impression of Reese's night overall? From
awesome
beginning all the way through.
Fans showed that, you know, what this game's really all about. Reese left an impression on this fan base, like he will on ours. You know what I mean? Like, people already recognize who the guy is and recognize how he goes about his business and what a pro he is and what a teammate he is. So I think the fans reacted just like, yeah, I'm just happy for him that, you know, stole a base. It created a lot of chuckles, and also hit a homer. So,
how about from his standpoint? You know, he was joking around with us that he's a crier and he was going to be emotional. I mean, you must have. Did you see it at all before the game? That
it meant a lot to him. Yeah, it meant a lot to him. You know, he's a deep kid. You know, and he loves this game, and he knows the game has treated him great, and Philly's treated him great, and he loves this place. He speaks so fondly of his teammates and of the organization, and loves talking about it. And it's just, it's a testament to who he is. I mean, this guy's as good a person as you're ever going to have. You know, we're very lucky to have him. He's been a huge part of our success.
Sir, were you okay with the send after he stole the base in that situation?
Gonna make that guy throw you out.
Yeah. You know. It was a heck of a throw, too.
Heck of a throw, bang bang play.
You
know.
You talked a little before the game about just sort of being able to gauge how your team matches up against that team. Would you take
it? It's one game. You know, we had to use an opener and Bryce Wilson, who was a reliever to start the season but pushed into starting duty because of our number of injuries we've had that I'm sure you know about. So one game doesn't gauge anything, but it's the only thing you can gauge is that for 60 games, this team hangs in there every game. You know what I mean? It's never out of it. I'm really proud of that.
Bryce needed 25 pitches to get through that first inning, but what'd you think about kind of how he settled in the rest of the
game? Yeah, he settled in. He didn't have good stuff early, but then, you know, to give us what he did, six innings, 90 pitches, got his highest pitch count of the year, I believe, and to give us six innings like that was crucial against a really good lineup, a really good offense, one of the best. And, yeah, he should feel great about it, giving us six innings, three runs, and started without his best stuff and didn't have his command early. And I think he should feel good about it.
Absolutely. I mean, you normally two runs in the first and then shutting it down. Now, obviously, you'll have the home run later, but three runs after nearly completing six, you're going to win those games more often than not, but you faced a really good one on the other side. We'll play a couple of the moments, you know, not really a full highlight segment coming up since the Brewers only scored one run, but that one run was a really, really cool moment. That's next on WTMJ.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
You know, normally this is the time we do some highlights. Kind of tough when you only score one run. But the moment of the night was Rhys Hoskins in his return. Hitting something, doing something he's done plenty of, and that's hit a home run at Citizens Bank Park. And Josh Maurer was on the call.
The 2-1 pitch. Drive in the left field. Dahl is going back. Dahl on the track. Dahl at the wall. Goodbye, Philadelphia. Home run. Rhys Hoskins into the seats in left. The cheers turn to boos. And the Brewers are on the board. It's a 3-1 game in the seventh inning.
That was awesome. You could hear the boos and the conflicted crowd and trying to figure out, oh, wait, what? But the story of the day was the fact that the Brewers had the bases loaded and nobody out and the top of the order up and they didn't score a run. That's why they lost. Pitched well enough. He didn't hit well enough, but that'll happen. Phillies are good. They have the best record in the National League for a reason. But you'll try to get after it again tomorrow. And a reminder, the Brewers, when they went to Philly last season, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going back to check right now, they lost the first game of that series, too, then ended up winning the last two, and that is correct. They lost to Aaron Nola. They lost in a tight one, 4-3. Both teams were in a similar fashion. Really, really good, really, really good team. Julio Teheran started game one of that series for the Brewers last year. Then game two, it was Colin Ray got the start, so deja vu here, against Christopher Sanchez. Whoa, deja vu. The Brewers had got to Jeff Hoffman in that game. They won that 5-3. Then, of course, it was Corbin Burns in the finale. I understand he's not here anymore, but Corbin pitched great. He had 8 shutout innings with 10 punch-outs, and it was the big league debut of Abner Uribe, remember? Struck out the side. Well, did not strike out the side, I should say. He also walked one batter and struck out 3 in an electric debut when the Brewers beat up on Taiwan Walker. So they lost the first game of the series last year. Maybe they can do it again by winning the next two just like they did last year in Philly. Brewers fall 3-1. We'll look at the rest of the schedule, some other headlines from today that you may have missed when it comes to the rotation and what's on the horizon here for the Brewers as we get ready to wrap up the show after this on 620 WTMJ.
While you rest on the weekends, we work for you. Wisconsin's Weekend Morning News with Libby Collins. The latest in news.
TMJ4 meteorologist Brendan Johnson.
We're getting all four seasons, it looks like, in the span of just about 72 hours.
Entertainment.
His name's John Krimper.
I rode sheep when I was 3, and that's when it all started.
And more every Sunday morning starting at 8 on WTMJ.
In Wisconsin, bicycles are legal and intended users of the road. We remind drivers to share the road and make sure to slow down and give at least 3 feet when passing a person biking. Let's make sure everyone, no matter their mode of travel, gets home safely. Learn more at wisconsinbikefed.org.
Trust in your family's comfort at home with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. They're the oldest family-owned HVAC company in southeast Wisconsin. Four generations of Siders and their highly trained technicians provide a one-stop shop for all home and business comfort needs, including an emergency service line that's always live and a 12-year parts and labor warranty on all Daikin products. Get peace of mind by scheduling maintenance today with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. That's S-E-I-D-E-R, Sider.com.
The pulse of the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a Bucks legend.
Can't get it off. Marcus Johnson will, though. Can't leave him alone for a call.
Tap into Hear District with Marcus Johnson on Bucks Plus. Marcus and his son Chris offer a weekly beat on Bucks basketball. Get your questions answered and hear from the biggest names in basketball. Find Hear District with Marcus Johnson at Bucks.com/plus on the Bucks app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So he said to me, boy, oh boy, do you got the boulders. And I said, you betcha. And he said, do you mind if I cherry pick? And I said, feel free. They're all beautiful, and they're all granite. Sparkling pinks, blues, and grays from 4 to 36 inches. And they're all priced right. Because we buy direct from the source nationwide to give you the look you want. Erickson's Landscape Supply. High-quality mulch and stone for a whole lot less. Commercial or residential, visit ericsonslandscapesupply.com to see our entire selection. Well, if you need flagstone for your new natural patio, Erickson's is the place to find it. We have the largest selection and 15 styles to choose from. And for decorative stone, Erickson's is your best choice. Our decorative stone is trucked in from all over the country. We buy straight from the quarry and cut out the middleman to keep your prices nice and low. Erickson's Landscape Supply. High-quality mulch and stone for a whole lot less. Commercial or residential, visit ericsonslandscapesupply.com to see our entire selection.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, last segment here, last couple minutes. Mentioned it earlier that Robert Gasser is dealing with some tightness and some soreness. Hopefully nothing major here, nothing about whether or not he's going to skip his next start or anything like that. It's all in his left elbow. He's in the process of receiving a second opinion. Speaking of second opinions, D.L. Hall is going to fly to Los Angeles to see Dr. Neil Elatrache in person. The imaging came back clean, but the doctor still wants to see him in person. As that saga continues, he will rejoin the team in Detroit with those results. Also, Jacob Junis will be starting a rehab assignment in AAA Nashville by the end of the week, which is good news there. And J.B. Bukauskas will be down in Arizona for the Complex League to start getting reps there. Garrett Mitchell is on his way down to Arizona, too, to get the final checkup to make sure everything is all systems go as he starts to see live pitching, hopefully by the end of this week. A lot. Oh, and Joe Ross. They're hoping that Joe Ross won't need a rehab assignment and build him up organically and have him return by mid-June. Now, that's obviously up in the air. And just real quick nugget to send you on your way. I was talking to Devin Williams in the clubhouse. He thinks he's ahead of schedule. He wants to be back. He is pining to be back. The Brewers have remained steadfast saying the All-Star break. But given he's playing catch, he's already got the Clean Fuego out, one of his training tools out. That's a good sign. I'm hoping, I'm sure Devin's hoping too, maybe before the All-Star break. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but just going to monitor that situation if Devin's going to be on a rehab assignment here by the end of the month, because that would certainly be a welcome sight, and it just makes it that much deeper, that much more exciting for the Brewers. The good news is tomorrow, Jared Koenig's going to start again as an opener. Colin Ray is going to follow, and you've got a really fresh bullpen after what Hobie Milner was able to do today to make sure that no damage was done in that eighth inning. So you've got Hudson available. You've hopefully got McGill available, Pyomps, Peguero. The list goes on. Same time, same place tomorrow, 5:40 Central, first pitch. We're on the air at 5:05. My thanks to Craig Kishon and our producer, Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.